Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Well, what's up, all of our liberty-loving friends? This is another fantastic episode of Liberty at Night with Nate and Charlie on the Free Talk Live Network, coming at you from Nashville, Tennessee. It's a beautiful Tuesday night. We'll talk a little bit about the war going on, but not too much. I did see over the weekend on Saturday Night Live, Pete Davidson did a little intro for SNL, and gave what I thought was a nice intro, you know, talking about how terrible it is and, you know, prayers for all the innocent people that are caught up between everything. I thought it was nice. I turned on Ben Shapiro's show today because that's how bored I was. And I heard him talking about Pete Davidson's intro. And he was very upset about it. You see, and I'm just going to use him as an example, but there's a lot of people like this. He's maybe one of the most outspoken because of he has a large audience. You really can't even talk about how you feel bad for all of the innocent people being killed in Gaza right now without being like a Hamas sympathizer or an Israel hater when it comes to his position on the matter. And that's just something that I don't really agree with. I think that you can be sad that innocent people are dying and not even have to talk about what side of a border they live on or what the people who governed them did that was wrong and whether or not they deserve it because of what their government did to someone else. See, Hamas has actually elected leadership in Palestine back in 2006. That's when they had the election. I tweeted out today.
Even though Palestine is not really a country.
I heard Ron DeSantis said something like, well, let's not forget that Palestine elected Hamas as their leadership. And so that's what you're supposed to say when you talk about people in Gaza dying, or Gaza elected Hamas as their leadership, as if this is the one election, by the way, that was safe and secure, completely indisputable.
No mail-in ballots.
There's no possible way that it was messed with whatsoever. This is
the cleanest Middle Eastern election
that there's ever been.
Yeah.
And it was in 2006. That was the last time that there was an election. I'm not trying to say that everyone over there is innocent or Israel shouldn't fight back, Israel shouldn't defend themselves. I just get annoyed when people say things like, we can question elections all over the place. Like, oh, I bet you there was something funny going on there. I bet there's something funny going on there. When it comes to this, and you're talking about thousands of civilians dying, you're like, oh, well, they elected Hamas. Did they? You know, I'm sure there's a lot of support.
What's the justification for the attack?
You know, so what attack?
Yeah, for launching 3,000 rockets.
Yeah.
Paragliding.
Not parasailing. It's hard to hold a gun when you're parasailing. Mm-hmm. Trust me.
Yeah.
So I want to play Ben Shapiro's response to Pete Davidson, and you'll hear some of Pete's, Pistol Pete, as I call him, some of his intro for SNL in this clip. Roll clip one, producer.
Our moral exemplars, our moral elite, they're completely disconnected from the American people and from reality. And they break down into basically two categories. One are the stupid, and two are the cynical pro-Hamas. And they're not the same category. I'm not going to suggest, for example, that Pete Davidson on SNL is pro-Hamas. He's not. He's just a typical Hollywood idiot. He's somebody who has reverted to all situations are the same, all morality is the same. I can't take sides here. I can't. Now, let's be real about this. Everyone should be mourning right now civilians murdered in Israel for the crime of being Jews and members of the civilian population in Gaza who are murdered by Hamas. Okay, it is a Hamas murder. When you hide a child in front of your guns while you shoot at other people and the child dies in the crossfire, that is your problem. When I say your problem, I mean your moral problem. It's everybody's problem, but it's your fault. What's amazing is how unable they are to make actual moral distinctions, like basic moral distinctions between the murdered and the people who are attempting to defend themselves. Well, that's what you got on SNL. And you saw so many.
So first off, what I'll say is, I'm not attempting to make any moral distinction between the murdered and people trying to defend themselves. I'm saying that in both situations, the child didn't deserve to die, and it's sad that the child died, mm-hmm. you know? I don't think the kid knew that it was in Israel getting killed by a terrorist versus the kid that was being held by a Hamas terrorist and getting shot, you know?
Those or the kid that had a bomb dropped
yeah.
in his bedroom.
Yeah. Those are kids that died. There's your moral equivalence of it's sad when kids die. That's it.
It's sad when anyone yeah. dies, but especially kids.
And I think that that should be avoided at all costs. And, well, we'll play a little bit more of the clip and we'll talk just a bit more about this.
Many people in the Twitterverse, the moral relativists, immediately, oh, isn't this so nice? Isn't this so nice? Because everyone is your moral apathy. And that's what it amounts to. Sympathy that is equally distributed between Hamas and Israel amounts to a moral apathy that is effective for Hamas. What Hamas would like is for you to be morally apathetic about the situation and for you to basically throw up your hands and say, too complicated, don't know. Okay, this is not particularly complicated. The side that murders babies in their beds for the crime of being babies, that's the bad guys. Here was Pete Davidson on SNL, both sizing this thing.
This week we saw the horrible images and stories from Israel and Gaza. And I know what you're thinking. Who better to comment on it than Pete Davidson? Well, in a lot of ways, I am a good person to talk about it because when I was 7 years old, my dad was killed in a terrorist attack. So I know something about what that's like. I saw so many terrible pictures this week of children suffering, Israeli children and Palestinian children.
When Pete Davidson's statement on this thing is basically suffering is bad. Yeah, we are in agreement. We are in agreement. But suffering is bad is not a moral message. And unfortunately, that is the side that's taken up by so many of our moral sophisticates. What I'm saying is that when the focus of what obviously is a moral conflict becomes not the actual moral conflict between one side that is evil and one side that wishes to preserve its own citizenry, and it instead becomes all suffering is from the same source, and thus, if we could just make the suffering stop tomorrow by snapping our fingers, leaving Hamas in place to murder babies, that would be fine.
Okay, just a little clip there.
I don't understand. I really don't understand what he's getting at there.
So, basically, anytime...
I mean, I understand what he's saying.
Yeah.
No, I get what he's saying.
If you talk
but
about...
why attack... Like, Palestinian children are just as important as Israeli children.
But when you say that, you are putting some blame on Israel for killing Palestinian children.
There is blame on Israel for killing Palestinian children.
And implying that they are doing something wrong in killing Palestinian children.
That is wrong.
Well, you see, you are a moral equivocator, as he would say. These are not the same because Israel is fighting for the right reasons and Hamas is not. But the problem is, like what Costco said, the problem is that Ben is equating civilians to Hamas terrorists. Like, it's never sad when a Hamas terrorist dies. I don't feel bad at all for a Hamas terrorist dying.
Right.
What's weird is there's also this weird double standard. So imagine the argument here.
It's also wrong when America kills Iraqi children.
Yeah, it is.
Or Syrian children.
Like, 9/11 was really bad. Also, we killed, like, hundreds of thousands of civilians in several different countries.
To millions
over the years, potentially.
Which is wrong.
Okay? And that's also bad. And it's very sad for all of those people. Those people no longer care about whether or not America was attacked or whether or not our government believes in liberty and democracy and their government was a dictatorship. Like, they don't care because they're human beings.
In fact, a lot of them probably wish that they could reinstate Saddam Hussein.
They probably do. So it's still sad when that happens. There's this weird double standard here that happens. The Hamas terrorists, the idea is that they like to hide behind civilians. They could, like, hold kids and a gun at the same time. Okay? Now, if you remove the idea of war from that, to me, that is a hostage situation.
Exactly.
Now, imagine that as a hostage situation. Someone takes hostages in New York, and they're holding a baby, and they got a gun, and then you
at
got...
At a bank. Let's just say at a bank.
And they're holding the kid, and they got a gun. You don't just bomb the building, do you?
No.
Do you bomb the building when someone has hostages? You're like, well, those...
The whole goal is to make sure the hostages are safe.
And so The difference is when you look at the Gazan civilians and you say, well, they should have left. They were warned. What if they can't leave? What if Hamas is blocking them from leaving, which they are actively blocking them from leaving? What if they would get murdered if they spoke out against Hamas, which they would if they were to speak out against Hamas? At this point, many of the people that are behind become hostages. And now there's a difference because there are Israeli and American hostages currently in Gaza that they're going to be looking for. Now, do you think if they have a building, it's got five Hamas terrorists in it, and it's got 10 Israeli hostages in it, do you think they're just going to bomb the building to kill the terrorists?
It sounds like they might, actually.
They might. Yeah. They might actually.
They shouldn't.
But let's stick with the idea.
It sounds like they might.
My guess is that if they knew that there were 10 Israeli hostages in there, they would be more tactical with their operation. And they would try and set up and they would find a way to kill the terrorists and save the hostages. They might even put themselves in direct harm's way while trying to rescue those hostages. And that's because they're Israeli hostages. But if there were five Hamas terrorists and there were 10 Palestinian civilians who had nowhere else to go, the idea is that you just bomb the building and don't care about it whatsoever anymore. It doesn't matter. And I'm not cool with that. I'm just not.
Because their suffrage is different.
I guess they're different classes of people, apparently. And I disagree strongly.
Yeah.
I just do. I get it. Israel got attacked. They're going to defend themselves. The second part of that is that we all know that as they go through there and they kill a bunch of people, there's going to be more Hamas after this than there were before. Every time they try to kill a few of them, they're going to create six. Every single time. I'm sorry. I'm not saying that that's the way I wish it was or that's the way that I decided it is. That's just the way that it is. And so then you have to ask yourself.
Especially doing it this way.
Like, yeah.
Leveling civilization.
So then if your goal is to eliminate Hamas because they're dangerous, you might have to ask yourself, is the way that we are trying to eliminate Hamas eliminating Hamas? No. No, we have years, we have decades of proof of this.
Or is ISIS just going to move in?
Exactly. Or just more people are going to join Hamas or Hezbollah or whatever. That's the way of the world. It's the truth. And right now this is just revenge. And you're going to try to show them, like, you never attack us again. But actually, they're just going to make a whole bunch more people want to attack them even harder.
In different ways.
Mm-hmm. So, anyway, I guess that's our thoughts on this current war right now, starting off on a Monday.
Mm.
Thanks, Ben. I enjoy listening to a show most of the time, but I can't really do it when this kind of stuff is going on because he beats the war drum so hard every time.
He's an Israel and America firster.
Absolutely.
At all costs. It doesn't matter if you murder children along with it, as long as you win.
We're going to roll through.
And I just think there's got to be a better way.
There is a better way.
There has to be a better way that where we're not killing civilians and we're actually, I don't know, maybe we should train more people like the Navy SEALs to be more tactical.
Yeah.
And try to protect people.
They will do it when they find a building of Israeli hostages. They'll do it. They'll try to kill the terrorists and preserve as many of the hostages as they can. Unless they already accidentally blew all of them up. But not whenever it's a Palestinian. Just not going to. I don't think that's right.
Because somehow they're roped into the guilt. And
they're not. Like,
they lived on the wrong side of the dirt.
They're roped into the guilt because they elected Hamas back in 2006. But I don't know. I think it's fine to question elections. And even if they did vote for them, Hamas said that they were going to do a lot of things different from what they've actually been doing over the years. And they haven't had an election since then. Maybe they would have voted a different way if they would have had elections every 4 years. But we haven't had any. So yeah. They haven't had any. So I don't know. And I mean,
some of y'all voted for Bush.
That's exactly what I was about to say.
Killed about a million civilians.
We, not us, but Americans have voted for more people that have killed millions more people than Hamas has. Does that mean that any of us deserve to die in any terrorist attack or whatever? And any country wants to start bombing us? Well, they voted for Obama. They voted for Bush. They voted for whoever.
So then by proxy, we supported
whatever our government did.
Violence.
And there's a real question.
And that's ridiculous.
Well, there's a real question, Charlie.
Is it?
We talked about this last week. We keep letting this go on. Charlie, our government murders hundreds of thousands of civilians around the world. What are we doing? We just walk around laughing like nothing's going on. Everything's fine. We're not cracking open that empty safe over there anytime.
Because it's empty.
Because it's empty. We're like, oh, yeah, they're killing some people all around the world. You know, what are you going to do? You know, at what point are you morally culpable in the actions?
What can you do?
We do the show because we do feel like it, but we want to talk about it and we want to grow a movement to stop them from doing that by in peaceful means.
Are you calling for the boog?
No, no, I would never. Because the safe is empty. I can't. I'd have to go over to Palestine to get some M4s.
Yeah. I don't even know what the boog is. I've never heard of it.
Everyone's so eager to get to this next topic. It's something that we talk about all. Well, first off, let me preface it with a few tweets. Are you ready?
Yes.
Here's one from Robert Reich. Is this today? Today's the 16th. How about that? He said, here's the truth about tax cuts for the rich. They explode the federal debt, fuel giant profits at the biggest firms and financial institutions, stoke a surge in billionaire wealth, but do nothing for average working people. Nothing trickles down. See where we're going here, Charlie?
Mm-hmm. That's why the poorest among us have Netflix, a car, usually 3 square meals a day. I don't know why they're round.
They're square.
They're not round.
I want mine to be round.
3 square. Mm-hmm. They have homes. Most
people.
Yeah.
Statistically.
Mm-hmm. Even some of the poorest among us.
The Washington Post. Here's an old article of theirs. You'll understand once we get there. The Washington Post says, analysis. Trickled down tax cuts made the rich richer, but are of no value to the overall economy, study finds.
Which, by the way, trickle down is made up.
It's a made up thing.
Yeah. Ronald Reagan never even used the words, I don't think.
We've talked about it before. It's an idea that comes from people who think that everything you have in life must be given to you by something else. And so when you cut taxes, like for people starting businesses, you're thinking in terms of how is someone going to give me something? So they think, well, if they cut taxes, I guess that means someone's directly going to give me a higher wage. How do people get money? Well, it must be because you took an action up here and then that's how I get stuff. That's how they think about the economy in general. It's never about creation, you know, never about growing things. And it is a made up term from, during the 80s is when it was used.
It's hard to quantify like how much richer we are. Like, cause I mean, if you think about, I don't know, let's say AT&T got a tax cut and therefore they were able to lay more internet lines back in the 90s or early 2000s or whatever. Like, what is the cost benefit to those people having access to the internet during that time period that AT&T was able to do because they got a tax cut?
Yeah.
It's impossible to quantify. Not impossible. We don't do a good job of quantifying those types of things. And that happens in all kinds of industries, by the way.
You know,
it's not just like, I pay less taxes, therefore I can hire more workers. I can whatever. You can invest into the business. You can invest into new technology. You can invest in the new ways of doing things, which makes everyone richer. It actually does, in a way. I like to say it trickles out.
It creates more opportunities.
It doesn't trickle down. It trickles out. You know? From the middle out.
It's hard to quantify because it's not shown in our income statistics. But when the Trump tax cuts went through, HCA, who my wife was working for, sent out the letter to all the employees and said, because of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, we are going to be paying off all of your student loans. And so they didn't just give everyone a lump sum. They paid everyone monthly, you know, so you didn't just quit as soon as you got the money or anything. But because of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, my wife, from that point on, didn't have to pay for any more of her student loans. HCA paid them off. And they said that they did that because of the money they saved in taxes.
Why didn't she pay it forward?
She probably did because she didn't have more money to spend on other things. We saved more money. stuff like that, and then that created more opportunities
for
other people in the economy.
Less trips to Target based on that? I feel like that would equate to more trips.
More, but I'd say there's more money left to save, too.
Target got to hire another person.
You put money in the bank, they can lend that out to other people to get cars and houses and stuff like that.
And then Target got to hire someone else specifically because she was going there more often.
There's no telling how many jobs my wife has created at Target. It's hard to quantify.
At least the whole store, I bet. Speaking of AT&T, at the same time, AT&T handed out a $1,000 bonus to all of their employees.
A lot of people did bonuses.
All of them. Specifically due to the tax cuts.
Washington Post says, opinion, trickle-down economics is a nightmare. Kansas proved it. Okay, so now we talked about trickle-down, which leads us to the topic du jour of the day. And it is, you're welcome, NFL fans, Taylor Swift.
So glad Travis Kelce put her on the map. No one knew who she was before Travis, the two-time Super Bowl winning tight end.
It's a great marketing ploy by her team to get herself attached to an NFL player.
I know.
That way people you'd see her name around and now out there. And so
she's part of the global NFL brand. If it wasn't for that, who would have known?
Seriously, though, do you think that they're, really together, or is this just the most genius marketing plan that there's ever been?
They look like they're kin.
I've seen movies where it looked like people were kin, Doesn't mean they are. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
NFL making some money off of this thing right now, It's crazy.
Well, obviously Taylor is, too, because viewers
apparently
now.
I guess so. Yeah. Okay, so this tweet and then the article that we will look at. Yeah, she just had a movie come out, just like Tascal Warlock said. The movie came out over the weekend. It was number one in the box office, did $92 million over the weekend. It's the second biggest opening for a movie in October in history, second to Joker with Joaquin Phoenix.
That's behind Barbie, I'm sure.
Well, it didn't open in October.
I know, but this is the new Barbie movie, basically.
same
This
people.
Is the year of movies for women.
It is. Man, woman power right now.
Barbie's a mouse Swiftie.
Taylor,
$92 million, huh?
$92 million.
Man, it probably would have only been like 50 had she not started dating Kelce.
$92 million, by the way, roughly the amount of money that's spent at every single Taylor Swift show. On tickets and merch and hotels and food. It's about $92 million per show that gets spent.
Jesus.
Yeah. So.
JC of LDS.
From Washington Post.
We did something wrong in music.
I know.
Yeah.
Taylor Swift is adding.
Those are oddly placed stars.
Taylor Swift is adding billions to the U.S. economy. Her record-shattering Eras tour. I didn't know if it's like some kind of Greek thing or whatever.
No, she's like basically
Eras.
Going through her eras.
Her record-shattering Eras tour is set to be the most lucrative concert run in American history. Also infusing the American economy with a trickle-down flow of cash. So we have found the one thing that does trickle down into the American economy.
Swift concerts.
All right, coming up, we'll keep talking about Taylor Swift and her boost to the economy trickling down on Liberty at Night.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
U.S. USA News update. Tomorrow, President Biden is set to visit Israel, where he will hold meetings with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and other leaders. The visit coincides with joint efforts by the U.S. and Israel to formulate a plan for delivering humanitarian assistance to the civilians in Gaza. The former Speaker of the House is optimistic that Ohio Republican Jim Jordan will soon secure the Speaker's position, placing blame on a few for Jordan losing the first vote.
Every single Democrat and eight Republicans voted to shut down one branch of government. That is why we're here today.
McCarthy mentioned that he faced a similar process before being elected Speaker back in January. Roughly one-third of parents in the U.S. face challenges in finding diapers, as noted by the Institute for Research on Poverty. The reasons include different factors, including inflation, heightened demand, and a decrease in the availability of diapers from low-income service providers. John Schaefer, USA News.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
I need answers to my tax questions. Where can I find them?
Need answers? Try our interactive tax assistant on irs.gov/ITA. Simply select your tax questions, provide your information, and it gives you answers. Also, check our help and resources page and try our online tax map. 5,000 tax topics from A to Z. Plus, you can access forms, publications, in a variety of formats.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
What's up? This is Liberty at Night with Nate and Charlie on the Free Talk Live Network, coming at you from Nashville, Tennessee. We've been talking about Taylor Swift. It seems we finally found something that does, in fact, trickle back down into the economy.
It is the wealth generated by Taylor Swift trickles down into the American
economy.
So
now the Washington Post is fine.
trickle down.
Yeah.
If it comes from Taylor Swift.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure. So I want to look at this
Is it just American history? Wouldn't this not be world? Like, there a worldwide concert that's bigger than this?
People in other countries, I mean, they go, you know, crowds in other countries are like, you know, bigger than the U.S., you know.
Okay.
Massive. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Tell you the truth. Okay. The economy. Taylor's version. So we'll go through some of the money. I found this pretty interesting. Do some lines here, Charlie.
All right. Call it a gold rush. Taylor Swift is adding billions to the U.S. economy. Swift's record-shattering Eras Tour is set to be the most lucrative concert run in American history. But the massive production not only provided a jolt of money to sold-out stadiums, it also infused the American economy with a trickle-down flow of cash. That's the Washington Post's words, not mine. Back to the article. Now, as the show heads to movie theaters this weekend, millions more will experience and shell out cold, hard cash for a moment with Swift. As she hits the silver screen, here's a look at the economy. Taylor's version, which is a play on her re-recording all of her songs. The biggest windfall is that
I didn't catch that because I'm not up on all. I'm not Swifty like you are.
She re-recorded all of her songs so that even because Scooter Braun owns the masters, you know, for all
taking too much money.
Mm-hmm.
I got
so she re-recorded her own version and released those.
I got you. They probably sound, made some money off of that.
They sound almost the same,
okay,
but slightly different.
Same, but still different.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The biggest windfall is headed straight to Swift, who stands to make as much as $4.1 billion from the Eras Tour, according to estimates from Peter Cohen, an associate professor of management at Babson College.
Okay, so if
so we can
the
trust, give or take a few billion. She's going to make...
I mean, you can look at the, you can, they break down the prices of the tickets and all that and what the standard cut would be for the artists and all that as they go through. So she's adding billions to the U.S. economy. Now, not to get too much into the weeds here, but sure. People are going out and spending a bunch of money. Okay. They're spending money that, you know, they have. They're going to spend it.
Have you seen some of these tickets that people are?
And, it's expensive.
Yeah. I mean, the regular price tickets are expensive.
Yeah.
But the resale.
That's like $1,200, $1,300
or more.
Average resale.
Yeah.
On there.
Some people are paying $10,000, $15,000, $20,000.
Now, immediately.
This person on a stage, you can't even touch her.
Now, immediately when I see something like she's going to make $4.1 billion from the Eras Tour, this is wage theft. This is greed.
She's making at least 1,000 times more
than
the average
worker
on the Eras Tour.
I saw that people at the stadiums were getting paid $20 an hour to work at the stadiums on the tour. And you see how much money she's getting paid to do this tour?
It's unfair.
This is ridiculous.
They should
go
on strike.
How unfair this is.
Mm-hmm.
Not really. She should make whatever amount of money she wants. The bigger problem is with why no one ever feels this way about artists or about athletes.
Because they have no logical consistency. That's why. It's whatever they feel.
There's no.
Nate actually went Facebook viral with this.
It was our first viral post.
With this comparison.
Nate. It was Good Morning Liberty.
Well, but you created it, so I'll give you
I mean, that goes without saying.
Right? I'll give you the
I said it was Good Morning Liberty.
I'll give you the creative credit. but it is true. For some reason, artists get a pass.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Taylor Swift and all your other, you know, athletes, they all get a pass. You know, athletes like security or like people who like, what does their chef make, you think?
I mean, I'm sure they're all making great money, but it's
imagine
compared to what she's making an hour.
If you're LeBron James, and let's say you pay your home chef, you know, $150,000 a year to be your personal in-home chef.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
That's inequality.
That's a huge wealth disparity.
And LeBron James has to have food, so the chef is just as important as LeBron James is.
Without the food, LeBron James would die.
He'd be nothing. He'd be dead. It's very important.
Yeah.
The farmers who make the food, they all need to be getting paid the same.
Exactly.
Jeez.
But they can't make that correlate. It's only CEOs.
Speaking of CEOs, you know everyone...
Is Taylor Swift not the CEO of Taylor Swift?
She's the CEO of being the queen of being the whatever the people are saying these days on TikTok. Yeah.
She's the CEO of Queen.
She's CEO of Swiftin.
Yeah.
I don't know how to talk. Kids these days. I don't know how to do it.
She's the CEO of concerts. All concerts.
So, by the way, you were talking about...
She's the CEQ.
CEQ, there you go.
Chief Executive Queen.
The UAW strike and these the CEO of the Big Three, Big Three auto manufacturers, if you take their CEO pay, which includes all their compensation from stocks and stuff like that on paper.
Take all of their wealth.
All of it. If you take all of their pay that everyone's mad about, they make, three of them combined, about $70 million a year. And like this is shutting down the industries because people aren't getting paid enough. Those people make like $30-40 an hour, some of them. Now you got people working at concert venues for $20 an hour while CEQ's making $4.1 billion off the entire thing just for herself.
Mm-hmm. Inequality.
Which is, it's fine.
Inequality.
All right.
And actually, it's so logically consistent, as Nate is saying. Exactly. She should make that much.
Mm-hmm.
She should make probably more.
I'd have got her 10.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If I was running the concerts, she would walk away with $10 billion in her own pocket. But, you know, she's walking away with 4.1. It's not bad.
That's not bad.
After taxes, okay. She'll still have like $2 billion left over. Be fine. Mm-hmm. All right. That's assuming the pop star ends up keeping the standard artist share of roughly 85% of her tour's revenue, with average ticket prices of $456. Swift's earnings would be the most from a single tour for any musical act to date, and more than the yearly economic output of 42 countries, including Liberia, which has more than 5 million people.
Why don't all these people going to see Taylor Swift just take all that money and just give it to Liberia?
All of these Swifties are going to be tweeting this article celebrating the CEQ. You know? The chief executive queen for being such a boss bitch. And that's not my words. I'm not calling her.
It's in the article.
That's
Mom.
A term of endearment. But the impact of the Eras Tour extends far beyond what Swift takes home. In one of the few efforts to assess spending by concert goers, software company Question Pro quizzed about 600 Swifties who responded to an opt-in online survey based on their answers. So take this with a grain of salt.
Mm-hmm.
An average concert attendance, the company estimates that Swift's fans spent about $93 million per show on tickets, but also merchandise, travel, hotels, food, and outfits. I know some people that are going to New Orleans to see Taylor Swift next October.
Jeez.
Yeah. Next October.
That's planned. I don't even know if I'm going to be alive by then.
Yeah.
You know?
Add all that up, and by the end of the U.S. tour, you've got a $5.7 billion boost to the country's economy. That's enough to give $440 to each person in Swift's home state of Pennsylvania, or almost enough to send every American a $20 bill. Why didn't she do that?
I don't know. She's greedy. That's why.
Yeah, exactly.
Why didn't all these people just give all their money, and then they just divide it out amongst everyone in America? You know, that would have been a way better idea for them to do. It is crazy how they talk about this boost to the country's economy. They don't use the words trickle down anymore in this article, by the way, but that is what they're talking about. And what they mean is by her going around and doing this thing that she does, there's people that are working at hotels and restaurants and at the concert venues. And then there's also people who make merchandise and people who have their own Etsy shops dedicated to selling stuff to Swifties.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is there a company called Swifties?
She's the queen of the Swifties.
Okay, I gotcha. Queen.
Not the sorrow suckers.
The Swifties.
The Swifties. The mania began months before the March kickoff of the Eras Tour. Presale tickets went on sale in November, sending millions of fans into a frenzy and causing Ticketmaster to crash. A class action lawsuit and a congressional inquiry followed. A congressional inquiry. Congress investigated.
It's very important.
Ticketmaster for the sale.
On behalf of the Swifties.
Of Taylor Swift tickets. Yeah.
They want to get on that Swiftie money, man.
Tickets, which started at $49, sold for many multiples of their face value on resale sites like SeatGeek.
Hey, a ticket starting at $49?
The average ticket resale price on SeatGeek was $1,611. The burst of spending has revived the entertainment industry after a years-long pandemic slump. Swift and her Eras Tour have redefined entertainment economics. That's the director of growth marketing at SeatGeek. The tour's economic boost spread far past the walls of Swift stadium venues as fans traveled from near and far to any show they could get their hands on. The Federal Reserve Bank of Philadelphia even put the Swift effect in a report, saying concert goers provided a sizable boost to hotel revenue in May. They probably price gouged and raised their room rates up.
But it was fine because they were getting to see Taylor Swift.
Exactly. Hotels, restaurants, and shops around the country felt the upswing with millions of dollars flowing into the 20 U.S. cities Swift visited this summer.
Now, hold on. Why isn't a $1,600 ticket? I mean, someone went on there and bought it. They paid $1,600. That was the average resale price, wasn't it?
That's average.
Average ticket resale price on SeatGeek. Mm-hmm. Is that price gouging?
It's got to be.
It's crazy the differences when you're talking about people buying things or people producing things for people to take home versus people freely giving their money to go listen to a person sing on a stage.
And they clearly get it when it's Taylor Swift and yeah. Everything's fine.
They're like, oh yeah, I really want that. That person wants it and I want it. And I'm going to pay more than them because there's a limited amount of things right here.
There's only one seat.
And so I'm going to pay $1,600, $2,000, whatever it is, to go here. That's fine because I want to pay for it and I really want this.
But not for gas.
And the thing is, like that exact same
or
argument.
Or water.
Not for, like, life. Not to live. $1,600 for an MRI to find my cancer? What?
That you're going to cure? So I can live another day?
No, I want to see Taylor Swift. I mean, I'm going to watch her through my phone because I want my phone out the entire freaking time. I'm not even actually going to...
So like everyone knows I'm there. Be on my Instagram stories.
It's all about... And that's the thing, like all the stuff that we talk about, it's all about what we value and it's all about whether or not we have envy or anger or hatred or whatever towards the person that's providing whatever the product or service it is. These Swifties, they see Taylor Swift as so important to them that they would go spend a few hours at a concert venue and they would spend thousands upon thousands of dollars to get that. And everything's fine. Everyone, they're bragging about it. Everyone's happy about it. She's stimulating the economy, you know?
But to get an MRI.
Yeah, but to save your life, that's too much money.
Too expensive.
To get a generator when there's no power, that's too expensive. Can't do it.
And price
I should
gouging.
Get that for free.
Mm-hmm. I'm owed that. Yeah. It is, and this is why it's so important we talk about logical consistency, because we can talk about this. And say, good for her.
Great.
Logically, consistently, this is awesome. And I hope more artists can look at someone like Taylor Swift and be like, I could do that one day.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
That's my dream, to be bigger than Taylor Swift. Because before Taylor Swift, there was somebody that was bigger than that.
I know.
And Taylor Swift had a dream saying, I want to be the biggest female queen artist there is out there. And she's accomplished that.
Is it fair that Taylor Swift is getting paid so much more money than other female artists that are out there right now? Or other artists in general?
There's lots of artists out there who don't even have a song on the radio.
Yeah, like,
she has all of her songs on the radio.
Think about what she is making, I mean, compared to a teacher. I think every teacher should be making $4.1 billion this season, you know, this school year.
Yeah.
How is it that Taylor Swift gets that? And the answer So, I mean, people say some kind of ridiculous thing like that, like, oh, we've got millionaires out there playing on the field, playing sport. You know, teachers ought to be making that much money. Like, okay, well, guess what? No one's paying to watch teachers teach a class. You know, that's not what it is. That's not what's happening. They're paying to watch these people play sport or paying to watch Taylor Swift do this. But what about what Taylor Swift gets paid versus what's another female artist? I don't. Well, who's another one? Do any more exist?
Off the top of my head, I don't. Ashley McBride.
Beyonce. There we go. Well, that's another pretty big one, actually. She probably makes close, but Taylor Swift makes more because she's white, you know? And so we got probably a racist aspect going on right now. But why is it that they don't get paid the same? It's unfair. They both do a lot of work. They go up there, they go on the stage.
Britney
Spears.
Does
one of them sing harder than the other one? Look at all the work Britney Spears is putting in her home videos. You know, they're getting dangerous all of a sudden. She's got knives whipping around and stuff, you know? She's putting it all on the line.
And she's not making $4.1 billion, you know? It's not fair.
It's what people value, and people are freely choosing what they value more. You know, I was in a band that had a female lead singer. Are we upset that we're not getting the same amount as
you should be?
Taylor, I'm very upset, actually. I'm going to contact the manager of music about this.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else important here? More money, if you want to know about more money.
I don't know. Remember we covered a little bit of the Britney story?
Did we? Oh, yeah. Britney.
Maybe the conservator was right. Maybe they were like, this is for a good reason.
Yeah. Turns out her dad was right.
Yeah. Still wrong.
I know.
But maybe she does need something. I don't know. Anyway. anyway, in Los Angeles, where Swift performed six shows, sold out six shows in a row. The California Center for Jobs and Economy predicted a $320 million boost to the county. The county. Kansas City Tourism Organization Visit KC said the region got an estimated $48 million. Denver would add up to $140 million statewide. The Eras Tour was shot in the arm to a part of the regional economy that's really been lagging. It brought some much-needed dollars to the tourism industry.
And the part that was lagging was getting people to turn over their money for not actually receiving any physical product in return. Like, you just, it's really tough with other businesses. I mean, listen, I used to play music, so did Charlie. I'm not really dogging on the idea of paying for music. I wish people would have paid me more. Seriously. But, I mean,
because then I wouldn't be
think
here.
About, like, you're, this part of the economy is getting people to turn over their money, and, like, you don't actually give them something to take in return. It's just an experience.
Well, unless you're buying, like, a T-shirt or something.
Well, yeah, those things. And that's the part that they have helped with. They got stories in here of people, $208 million estimated additional hotel room revenue.
Also, remember, during the pandemic, everything was shut down.
Mm-hmm.
Forcefully. Like, you couldn't go to a hotel, probably, if you wanted to.
They got people who make bracelets. This person with her mom made $15,000 this year selling bracelets. Okay? That's great. I love all of that stuff. What's also a great boost to people's economy is when someone goes in and starts a business and they create stuff that other people need, you know, and they give people jobs and they work. And they build those things in the economy.
People come in and build homes.
But those people are...
And their kids go to school here.
But those people...
And those kids join up and play baseball or whatever. They're spending money.
They're demonized for doing what they do. You know? You're not going to get this article about Jeff Bezos. Maybe you will. It's the Washington Post.
Providing products and services that actually, like, help your life.
Mm-hmm. I mean, these people, you know, they get a boost in their life.
And maybe, yeah, maybe experiencing Taylor live actually... motivates you to create the best life possible. I don't know.
Or just that experience. I haven't like been, going on a vacation.
I haven't been to that experience. I don't know what it's like.
I haven't.
Although
either.
I can tell you, when I was younger, I had a big crush on Taylor.
Did you?
I did.
Like when you were 34?
I imagine she probably wrote the song "Wildest Dreams" about me. You know, actually, I think it was about Travis Kelce, but
yeah,
I think it was about.
I thought
me.
It was about Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah. I like to think it's about me.
I you know, Lacey waited on Taylor Swift one time.
Was it on her or was she there?
She was there with her dad.
Close proximity.
No, she actually waited on her with her dad.
Oh, she took her order.
Yeah.
What'd she order?
Oh, I don't know.
We should find that out. That'd probably be worth some money.
She said that they were really nice.
Yeah. Do you know if she had that piece of paper of taking Taylor Swift's order back then, that'd probably be worth some money.
Oh, I'm sure I can go find that at home for
sure.
The time that she wrote down Taylor Swift's order. Mm. I'll find that for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway, the basic idea here is...
Taylor Swift is hot.
That's what we've arrived at today. No, these are...
Clearly, she's making $4.1 billion. I mean...
It's apparently not unfair for her to go and make $4 billion... from this concert tour, and it's not. She's the one who's generating all of that value. People are going there to see her. You know, that's the argument that people will make for artists and for athletes and all that. But also, there's a lot of businesses that wouldn't exist if someone wouldn't have put up the money and the capital, and they wouldn't have had the ideas to start it. They wouldn't have revolutionized an industry like Bezos did or like Elon Musk did or something like that. But you end up hating those people, even though there are de facto thousands of people working for Taylor Swift who are... much more unequal compared to what she's making from these concerts than there are people who are working for Bezos or Musk that are unequal to what they're getting paid.
But let's bring it back to tax cuts real quick. Let's wrap this all the way now.
Let's trickle it back down to this idea.
You have to remember that for whatever evil Scooter Braun did, Scooter Braun took a chance on Taylor.
Is Scooter Braun?
He's the one who basically put Taylor Swift on the map when she was younger.
Big Machine?
Yeah, that's Scooter Braun, isn't it? Do I have that right?
I have no idea.
Yeah. Anyway, he took a chance on her when she was 16. Mm-hmm. I think she did her first record deal when she was 16. Now, she had a publishing deal from Sony when she was like 14 as a songwriter, but I'm pretty sure it was Scooter Braun from Big Machine took a chance on her. Hit it big. Obviously, Big Machine became big. Mm-hmm. They became a big machine after that. Anyway, let's imagine that Scooter Braun had some money. I think he did. Obviously, he started a record label. But let's say taxes were like 60-70%. And he was like, I can only sign two artists right now. And imagine he didn't sign Taylor Swift back then.
Yeah.
Now, look at all of the stuff that Taylor Swift has created since then. Now, I'm not saying that she wouldn't have made it without him. Don't hear what I'm not saying.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But imagine Taylor Swift needed some capital when she first started to get some records recorded, some songs recorded, to kind of jumpstart her career to what it is today. And imagine that never took place because taxes were too high. I'm serious.
I know it's true. And that's the world
that wraps it all the way back to the beginning.
You're going like Atlas Shrugged right now or something.
Yes.
Imagine that world.
So all you Swifties should be thankful.
Imagine all the artists that didn't get signed because there were still taxes or there were still things that people couldn't pay for.
We are probably missing out on the biggest artist who ever was because they're still writing songs in their basement and never got their...
How about that?
Yeah.
That's sad.
I'm sitting across from one who never got that chance because taxes were too high.
That was actually what happened. Yeah. We got that last tax bill and we were like, guys, we got to hang it up. We got to hang up our guitars and go back to paying taxes.
And now he comes over to my house and he plays my guitar and, he could be one of the biggest artists in the world.
We do need to go back to explaining how all the regulations raise prices and health. We haven't done a good healthcare episode in a long time, and that used to be our bread and butter.
Still is. People need to know.
Mm-hmm. But I think we talked about healthcare so much for like the first 2 years that we were a podcast that we're like, okay.
This is your first time living. It's everyone's first time living that we know of.
Mm-hmm.
If this is your first time living and listening to Good Morning Liberty, thanks that we're done after this. But there's over 1,000 episodes.
Because we have to pay taxes.
Yeah, there's over 1,000 episodes that you can go listen to. Then just, search healthcare.
Yeah, 1,091 episodes. 1,092 after today, to be exact. And you can always find the videos from our shows because we do record these shows live with our live group called the Fed Haters Club. You can go and find those videos on YouTube or Rumble or Odyssey. Just search Good Morning Liberty. And of course, you can find our episodes every single day of the week when we want to on your favorite podcast app. And you can listen to tonight's episode on the Free Talk Live podcast channel on your favorite podcast app. Coming up, we're going to talk inflation and Dumb Bleep of the Week.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.